You can be seated. Good evening. How y'all doing? Healed. Amen. Boy, it was hot today, wasn't it? Lord knows I'm going to heaven when I die. You hear me? Woo. Now, we have been talking about the healing ministry of Jesus. We said again, if you read your Bible, and I know y'all do, that Jesus' earthly ministry, one of the main emphasis of that ministry was that he did a lot of healing. And since the Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, the body of Christ should still be involved now with a strong emphasis on getting people well. Amen. Amen. Now, how many of y'all in the body of Christ? Good. Then see, one of the things that you should be doing is not just getting healed, but attempting to grow to the place where you're going to be the hands and not the forehead. Amen. And so we're looking at not only how to receive our healing, that is important, but also how to minister healing. And we're looking at how Jesus did it. And we said now there were about 19 individual cases of healing in the ministry of Jesus. That is where people came to him. We knew who they were, what was wrong with them, how they got their healing, and what he did to make sure they got their healing. There, of course, a whole lot of other people that got healed. There were times when the Bible says, and he healed them all. All right, but in those cases, we just know a multitude showed up, and whoever showed up got healed. But there are about 19 cases that we see and can see the individual and what they did. Again, it seems like more because the Synoptic Gospels. What's the Synoptic Gospels? All right, y'all don't know. What's the Synoptic Gospels? No, what are they? Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels because you generally find the same stories in them. All right, and that's why sometimes it seems like more because they record the same healing all three times. Tonight, I think we're going to look in John chapter 4. We're going to look at the nobleman's son. Yay! Actually, you don't have to turn there yet, but that's what we are. That's where we're going to end up. These are some truths that we've got to hold up so far. Number one, we said everything that Jesus said and did is a direct revelation of the will of God for all men for all time. Now, that's an important truth that you got to get a hold of. When you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Jesus in his earthly ministry. Well, according to the book of Hebrews, Jesus never sinned. He never missed it. He never did anything that didn't please the Father. So everything Jesus said and did then had to be the will of God. All right, so we came to the conclusion now that his actions, what he said, what he did, is just a direct revelation of the will of God for everybody for all time. Now, that's important because once you understand that truth, you come away quickly understanding that healing is the will of God. I mean, once you understand that, you don't really have to go any further because all Jesus did in his earthly ministry was preach, teach, and heal. I mean, you could say deliver also, because those folk had demons. He cast out demons also. But specifically, he preached, he taught, and he healed. You never one time see Jesus tell anybody, not right now. Amen. You never see Jesus tell anybody, you're going to have to keep your sickness because it's just not the will of God for you to be well. You just don't see that. And again, now you have to remember, a lot of stuff that folk believe in church got made up. Because the only way for a thing to be scriptural is you got to have what for it? And if you don't have no scriptures, it's not what? Scriptural. All right, it's not scriptural. So, see, we can't find anywhere where Jesus said, you know, God's working something out in you. So I want you to hold on to that sickness a little while longer because the end for you is going to be, see, you don't see that. People made that up. I'm sorry if your uncle a preacher, but people made that up. And again, see, what we're going to do here is we're simply going to stick with the Bible. Amen. If we see it in the Bible, then we ought to believe it. And if we can't find it in the Bible, then it ain't true. Amen. Yeah, if you can't find it in the Bible, it's not true. And that's a whole bunch of foolishness you really can't find in the Bible. Now, what remember we say this from time to time. While you're precious, your experience does not tell us what is or is not the will of God. It just tells us what happened to you, all right? And you can't take your experience and try to pass it off on everybody else as this is the will of God, all right? Now, I prayed, and my cousin died anyway. It wasn't the will of God. No, maybe you didn't know what you were doing.
Amen.
Because see, all right, see how y'all looking. People feel like the only thing you need to have to receive from God is to be sincere, and that ain't true. Because you've been sincere before and were sincerely wrong. So see, you gotta go past just, this is what happened to me, and since this is what happened to me, and I was sincere when I prayed and asked God to move, and he didn't move, so moving ain't the will of God. No, just mean maybe you didn't know what you were doing. Boy, get quiet whenever you know. Now, all right, don't get so arrogant that you think you know everything, right? That's how folk make up doctrine. That's how people make up doctrine. Nobody want to look in the Bible and see what it actually says. This is what happened to me, and so that's doctrine. No, what happened to you ain't doctrine. All it is what happened to you. I gave, and when I gave, nothing happened. Okay. See, giving ain't the will of God. No, it just means you gave and then nothing happened when you gave. But the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. So I either have to believe God or you. Hmm. I'll have to fast on that one. I don't know what I'm going to do. No. See, the will of God is laid out in the word of God.
Amen.
All right? Whatever the word says, we got to believe and settle that that's the will of God. And when we don't receive, somewhere on our end, we just had a burnout or a failure to get what we're supposed to have gotten. But there's never a problem on the sending end.
Amen.
Come on, tell your neighbor, God's not the problem. Tell them on the other side, God's never the problem.
God is never the problem.
Woo. Number two, we said we wanted to start paying attention to how people received. In other words, from now on, let's pay close attention to what people did to get whatever they got from God. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, remember, the first person we talked about was the man that had the leprosy. And he showed up to Jesus. He came and he had a certain level of faith, but it had to be matured a bit because he knew God could do something, but he didn't know if God wanted to do it for him. Hmm. Now, listen to me. Scores of church folk are right there. See, everybody know God is able.
Amen.
See, that ain't a problem. We done made up songs about that. We say that all the time. God is able. He's able. But just your recognizing that won't cause you to receive anything. God's able to bless me, but you're not going to get blessed if that's all you believe. All right? You see, watch now. See, your Savior has to be personal. And if he doesn't become personal, it ain't going to work for you. It can't be that God is a healer. God has to be your healer. And you got to receive him as your healer. It can't just be that, well, God will bless folk. No, God is blessing me. God meets all my needs. And until you make it personal, it's not going to work for you.
Amen.
All right, so this guy shows up, and he goes, well, now, Lord, I know you can if you will. Well, Jesus raises his faith with two words, I will. And he puts his hand on him, and the man gets his healing. All right, so we can say that first guy came with some kind of level of faith. All right, the second healing we looked at was Peter's mother-in-law. Now, Peter's mother-in-law, according to Luke, had a great fever. So she could have been delirious. She could have been out. We get no indication one way or the other whether she released her faith. Now, the people around her did plead for her and explain to Jesus why he should heal her. But we don't get any indication of faith. Now, this is another kind of healing we got to embrace. There are gifts of the Spirit that go into operation. There are manifestations of the Holy Ghost. All right, they're going to operation. And one of the things we need to believe for corporately as a church is that every time we come together, that the gifts of the Spirit can flow if God wants them to flow. Now, they're not going to flow, you know, just because we decided they will. They're going to flow as the Holy Ghost wills. But if you don't believe for it, you ain't going to see that either. And so we need to believe for it because it can be a great sign to people, to unbelievers and unbelieving believers.
Amen.
So it's something you need to believe for. You need to believe in your own life that the gifts of the Spirit flow, all right? The gifts of the Spirit flow. But we didn't get an indication of that, whether it was faithful, so we'll put that off on that this was a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Last week, we looked at the man born by four. Anybody was here for that?
Yes.
All right, eight of y'all were so good. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Let's look at this again. Are you there? Luke chapter 5, I believe we're going to start reading in verse 15. All right, Luke 5, let's start at verse 17. It says, it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which will come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Now notice verse 20. And when he saw their what?
Faith.
When he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Which is easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go to thy own house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereupon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Good story. Good story. Now, how many of y'all believe it happened just like that? All right, that is not a fairy tale. Amen. All right, that's not a parable. That's exactly how that went down. All right. Now, remember we said, now these guys got to the door and they couldn't get in. And now one of the things you have to recognize about faith is faith will be persistent, consistent, and it's gonna push and press. Because they very easily could have said, well, you know, it must not be the will of God. Because if it was the will of God, do it, we'd have a way in. We ain't got no way in, so we'll just. We tried for it, but we couldn't get you in. We just go back home. No, these radical guys.
Amen.
Because somebody had to come up with the idea, you know what? We can take you up on the roof. That just is, I just love that. Most of the people you hang around ain't like that. Most of the people you hang around are not like that. You hang around, some folk hang around quitters. Would have been more happy to go home. Well, we tried. Uh-uh. Pray the Lord. Sorry, Fred. Maybe we'll catch Jesus at the next meeting. Uh-huh. No, they said, you know what we could do? We could take you up on the roof. And this guy on this bed had to be a different kind of guy. Because he got dragged up on top of this roof. Now, I don't know. I'm not, you know, I'm sure it wasn't a three-story Victorian. You know, it might not have been that high. But the boy's paralyzed. And I mean, I'm guessing, you know, somebody had to hold him steady. Somebody had to get up on the roof. And then they had to transfer him from down on the ground to the roof. Now, let's say that they successfully get him to the roof. Okay, now what we got to do? We got to knock a hole in the roof. Why? Because, see, if we can get him to Jesus, Jesus can do something about it. And so we'll do whatever we can do to get him to Jesus. Because these men had faith. All right, so they kick a hole in the roof, and they lower him down. And when Jesus sees a man coming down, what he sees is these boys have faith. They believe I can do something. And so Jesus says, Slim, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees are going to go, wait a minute, who do you think he is? Forgiving sin. Can't nobody forgive sins but God only. And so Jesus says, why y'all thinking like that? But just so you can know I'm the man,
amen.
Rise, take up your bed and walk. And so the man gets up, grabs his bed, and he goes home. The Bible says glorifying God. Now, while he was sick, I guarantee you there won't much glorifying God coming on. Because sickness don't really glorify God. But when a sick man gets healed, it gives God glory. So he goes home glorifying God. Well, what healed him? Their faith. Their faith. They would not quit. Ain't nobody here but us, right? Right? See, look around. Who you see? Just us. All right? Come on. The reason that we're in the midst of a bunch of Christians that's broke is because they cannot persist through hard times financially with their sowing and their reaping. They cannot persist. So they'll give up the minute something gets hard, and that's why they stay broke. The reason you see sick people that stay sick long periods of time, they'll try to believe God. But whenever it turns south, they don't persist. Well, I don't believe in God. Quit complaining and quit whining. There ain't nothing I can't stand. I hate whiners. Quit whining. It is not going to do anything. You got to hang in there. You got to hang on. You got to keep going with what you started with. That's how you come out of places. That's how you go next level. You can talk it all you want to, but eventually you're going to have to work this word to get next level. And I mean, you're going to have to, in the middle of all hell breaking loose, keep doing what you've been doing. On your way to the hospital, you got to be telling everybody in the back of the ambulance, y'all know I'm healed. Y'all know I'm healed. Y'all know I'm healed. Don't get me wrong. Get me to the hospital. But I am healed. And I'm never going to stop believing that I'm healed. I'm going to believe this all my life. And you got to be that kind of person if you're going to receive from God. Jesus recognized these boys believe me. I mean, they could have bum rushed it. It'd have been the same thing. But basically, they said, we getting in here. Because if we can get them to Jesus, something will happen. Well, see, what's up with us? See, who does your money better? Your savings and loan or your bank or your pocket or God? Well, let's see again, where's your enthusiasm about giving? If you really believe that, then we could have 10 offerings and you'd be in all of them. And you wouldn't get mad about one, not one, because you know what? They're trying to help me. But see, faith has to be persistent. And we're sprinters, and you got to become a long-distance runner. Okay, now I'm going to try this three times. About three times, I better be a millionaire, Pastor Wayne, to me. Now I'm through. I confess this thing 10 times. I ain't seen it yet. No, faith is not a fire extinguisher. To just live by faith. Faith is a way of life. It's how you live. It's how you do it all the time. In the middle of all hell breaking loose, just don't let the devil know you're sweating. And it's a good thing. See, he can't read your mind. It's a good thing. You know, he's not omni anything. So you can be just falling apart on the inside. But just, yeah, I'm healed. That's right. I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Unless I let him know what's coming out of me, see, he don't have no clue. He can't read my mind.
Right.
So you need to get your insides quiet, and you need to just start spouting word out your mouth. You're going to live and not die. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
All your bills are paid.
Yeah.
All my bills are paid. I'm rolling. But how you doing? I'm rolling. I'm rolling. That's how I'm doing. I'm rolling. What do you need? You need something? You totally broke. But ain't nobody's business but yours. This is how things change. This is how things get different. This is how things begin to turn. This is how your situation begins to be different. You're going to have to believe God.
Amen.
All right, amen. We mess around. We won't even get to the healing. All right, come on. Tell your neighbor this. Jesus is my healer. Say it, sickness and disease cannot live or exist in or on my body. With long life, he's satisfying me and showing me his salvation. Thank God, I'm going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Now remember, anything that you will believe and confess, he'll be that for you. Now, and this is, you know, it's just as equally important. What you do not believe for, you will never be bothered with. And that's good news, too, because, see, there's certain things you don't have to get mad about. I just don't believe in healing. That's fine. Ain't none of it ever going to get on you. So don't even, why don't you, you can just, ain't no need to be in mind. Why they gotta be praying for the sick? Well, we believe in healing. Well, I don't believe in healing. It's never, you ain't gonna never have none. Are you following? Yes. See, if you don't believe in prosperity, you could still go to church here, even though the rest of us do. Amen. Because see, it'll just get on us and it'll just bypass you. Right. Come on, tell your neighbor, what you don't believe for, you're never gonna have. See, you're never gonna have peace in your household if you don't believe for it. You waiting for the peace anointing to drop out the sky and knock all y'all out. There ain't no such thing. So you gotta start believing God for peace. You've gotta start pursuing peace. You gotta start shutting up. You gotta start cutting off the arguments yourself if you really want peace. You ain't gonna just be just waiting and all of a sudden, pooh. All of a sudden, Tuesday, something fell out the sky, hit both me and my wife in the head. We ain't argued since then. It's not going to happen. You got to start believing for it. Yeah. Amen? Amen. You're just waiting for your husband to come to church. You better start believing for him to come. Amen. I'm just going to say, well, eventually he's going to come. I know he will. No, you're going to have to start believing it. Amen. On purpose. And believing it for real. Just standing out there, I'm waiting. What you waiting for? Waiting to see my husband coming. Because they don't need to believe for something and not expecting it to happen. Amen. Come on, y'all follow me.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
See, your whole life can change if you start believing something. Amen. On purpose. And pursue it. And be persistent. And hang in there no matter what happens. Amen. I mean, what do you got to lose? Come on, anyway, I'm just talking to y'all. I ain't even talking to the rest of them. This is just us. What would you lose if you started believing that God would put you over financially? Okay, you really wouldn't lose anything. Pastor, what if it don't happen? Well, you where you are right now. Are you following? You just where you are right now. All right, but let's say you moved up just a little. Then just a little more. And then just a little more. And let's say that kept happening for about 2 years. You look one day and you'd be like, you know what? I'm doing well. I ain't rolling, but I am on a roll. Now, that's how it works. Somebody got to believe something. That's how everything. That's your company will take off when you start believing for it. You'll have more clients when you start calling them in. Just standing by the door, seeing if somebody gonna see the sign, holler at them.
Amen.
Bless God, I thank you. Everybody's looking for me.
Amen.
The heck with you. Everybody looking for me. The whole world is always looking for me. All right? The whole world is looking for what I have, what I can do, what I'm able to do, looking for my gift, coming to experience it. You are sitting in the fastest growing church in the whole world.
Amen.
I said, Maryland is too small, so I just forget Maryland. I used to say that, but I said, well, this is the fastest growing church in the world. You just can sit there and watch. It's my faith. Don't worry about it. You ain't got to say nothing.
Amen.
Just sit there and look.
Amen.
They'll come when you won't be able to glide in here at 20 minutes after something start and be able to get a seat. Just remember I told you. Remember I told you. Are you in John yet?
Yes.
If you ain't found it by now, you probably never going to get there, all right? Come on, John. Come on, while you turn and say it. Jesus is my healer.
My healer.
All right, John 4, verse 46. It's a good story too, boy, right here. This is wonderful stuff. I'm going to read this out of the King James. And then I'm gonna read it out of the Amplified, and we'll pull from the Amplified, okay? But you'll be able to follow along because it's not that many verses, all right? John 4:46 says, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go your way, your son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then inquired he of the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, your son lives, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judah into Galilee. How many believe it happened just like that? That is not a parable. That is not some kind of anecdote. That it actually happened just like that. All right. Now let's break this down out of the Amplified. I'm gonna be reading out the Amplified. It says, however, when he came into Galilee, the Galileans also welcomed him and took him into. Yeah. Wait a minute. 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. Now, according to the Bible, that was the first miracle that Jesus did. Now, there are what are called apocryphal writings, which is, if you've ever been Catholic, you know that the Catholic Bible has about 14, 15 books that are not found in the canon. And in those books, it kind of gives the impression that Jesus had miracle working power always. As a little boy, he's healing his friends and healing birds and, you know. Now, most experts do not believe that those are genuine writings. And it doesn't agree necessarily with the Bible. All right, so anything don't agree with the Bible, we basically don't believe. Now, the reason that that is, number one, Jesus, according to the book of Philippians, released the power that he had as the Son of God and took on the form of a man. Yes, right. All right? So when Jesus came to the earth, he was just a guy like us. Amen. And nothing happened miraculously until he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, see, if he came with power that is not common for us to get a hold of, he can't be our example.
Right. Okay.
See, we can't use him as an example. If he was here as God, being able to do anything he wanted to, when we are then, say, limited to Holy Ghost power. No, see, in order to agree with the Bible, see, Jesus didn't do any miracle till he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. All right, that power came on him. Suddenly now he's moving in the miraculous. Are you following me?
Yeah.
All right, but you know, again, there are some writers that, you know, try to make it sound like that he was always doing stuff, but I don't necessarily believe that because it don't agree with scripture. But I throw it out there just in case you run into, you know, you run into somebody that believes that. No, see, Jesus always had miracle working power. No, if he did, he can't be our example. Because see, you and I can't just indiscriminately go around and just throw healing and folk can just get, you know, whether they want it or not, just, you want to be healed? No, I like my sickness. No, you're going to be healed. Boom, we can't do that. Are you following me? It takes the power of the Holy Ghost for us to do what we do. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
All right. Now, verse 48, what, 7, 6, 7? All right. And there was a certain royal official whose son was lying ill at Capernaum. Having heard that Jesus had come back from Judea into Galilee, he went away to meet him. Now, it's about 15 miles between Capernaum and where Jesus was. And, you know, I'm guessing that this guy footed it. Have you ever walked 15 miles?
Yes.
How long did it take you? Probably an all-day journey. You ain't gonna walk 15 miles, no, dude. That's a hump right there, 15 miles. How far is 15 miles? I mean, how long you think it take? 4 or 5 hours?
No, 1 hour.
Church folk, man, church folk. All right, 5 hours. We'll just say 5 hours. It take less than that, more than that. It, all right, just for the sake of going home sometime today, we'll say 5 hours. All right, but you know what? Now, let's think about that for a minute. You can't walk no 15 miles without getting some rest. Ain't a soul in here just going to do this 15 miles. You might do 3, and you're going to need a water break. You're going to need the rest. But we'll say it took him 5 hours, all right, just because we don't want to start no trouble here at the church, all right? All right, he went away to meet him and began to beg him to come down and cure his son, for he was lying at the point of death. Now, let's look at this, all right, just the way it was in the natural. You've got this royal official who's been appointed by the king. So that means he probably has some wealth. He probably has prestige, probably a man of influence. Then now you have Jesus, who is real popular with us, but of course at the time when Jesus was walking the earth, he's not popular. All right, he's just an itinerant preacher who didn't go to the schools where the Sanhedrin, he didn't go to any of those schools, and he's not popular with the church leaders. So a king's official probably shouldn't be seen with him, because he could lose influence with some of the people he deals with. Are you following me? But this man, because he knew he needed help, he came anyway. All right? Now, he's important, but he shows up anyway. Now, remember we talked about, didn't we talk about Naaman? Remember, Naaman basically did the same thing. He traveled from his homeland to meet Jesus, which is some kind of level of faith. Something had to stir you to make the trip. Because you wouldn't make the trip if you didn't believe there's some help for you. But when Naaman gets to where the prophet don't even come out to see him. He just sent a servant out. And the servant basically said, you just need to go dip in the river 7 times, you will be whole. Take care. Now, Naaman's upset because he's big time where he's from. You know, he might have been the Colin Powell of Syria. You know, he might have been the fourth, you know, who knows? He was big time. And he said, I thought he'd at least come out and wave his hand over me. Remember, we talked about, now don't you settle on how God's going to heal you. Just obey whatever the oil is on that particular day. Because sometimes what you might be looking for, I mean, God wants you to receive some other kind of way. You know, if you ain't led, you know, specifically, then, yeah, ain't nothing wrong with you stepping out, getting hands laid on, or whatever you're used to. But if God tell you, stay in your chair, you just hear the word, then that's what it's on for you that day. Now, everybody else can rush the front, but you got to keep your butt in the chair. Right. Lord, and people be falling out. Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, my Lord, look at this, look at this. People just, I mean, before the guy get to him, folk just falling out, boom. Oh, man, the power of God, Lord. No, see, for you, there won't be no oil up there for you. You had to hear. And see, whatever God tells you, you have to do. But Naaman, man, he's full of pride. So he gets mad. They peel off out of the driveway. They're gone, man. He's mad. But one of his servants said, come on, man. We were prepared to do something big. Let's at least, since we're here, let's go do it. So they did. He gets healed. Now, pride can be a wall between you and God. Amen. And a wall between you and everybody else. Yes. All right? Humility is necessary to receive from God. Now, let's define humility this way. It's simply acknowledging the truth. Pride is lying or deception about who you are and what your position really is. All right? Humility is just acknowledging the truth. It's not debasing yourself. It's not, you know, some folk, well, we ain't nothing but worms. No, you're not a worm. You ain't never going to be a worm. All right? But I do have to acknowledge I'm nothing without God. Amen. Now, that's not debasing myself. It's just the truth. I acknowledge this truth. Without God, Nothing. Don't look like that without God. You ain't nothing either. So watch, no matter how far you climb up the corporate ladder, without God, nothing. It's just acknowledging the truth. Man, I've known guys, and I won't say where I was because I can't do that. But I was going to a church and I was a deacon. And whenever we'd go to visiting churches, some of the other deacons would go in the church and announce, you know, I'm deacon so-and-so. And I need to get me a seat. You're just a table waiter.
Right.
Sit, go back there and sit down. Why do you need a special seat? See, you're important at your church, but you ain't important over here. And you need to just acknowledge the truth. You're a deacon. You're not an evangelist. You're not a pastor. You're not a teacher. You're not a prophet. You're a deacon. Go sit down. See, you got to be careful to not ever get a swelled up head. You ain't nothing without God. That's just the truth. And you ain't going to get healed without him. You ain't going to be blessed without him. That's just acknowledging the truth. Look, Lord, if I'm going to be anything, I need you. That's all. Don't make no difference what men think about you and what they say about you. You need to remember who got you wherever you get to. Boy, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have nothing. That's the acknowledging of the truth. That's all it is. For me to say, for you to say, I did so and so by my, I did this myself. That's a lie. Because you need a breath, and you don't know how to manufacture that. You need a heartbeat. You don't know how to manufacture that. You need your brain to work. You didn't know how to manufacture that. All that you did, you got to do because God blessed you, and you have to keep yourself smart. Okay, what people say about you? You need to remember who you are. Because if you get pride in your life, you'll have a wall between you and God, and it'll block off your receiving. Watch, all right, now watch. Sometimes your good sense or common sense faith don't always make sense.
Right.
So sometimes your thinking, your smartness becomes a wall of pride. Lord, I need my needs met. All right, take Minister Jonathan $100. What? Lord, are you listening? I need money. I need money. I need money. All right, this don't make no sense. I don't have enough money now, and you want me to give. I can't do that. Boom. Well, you're blocked from receiving. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
See, you're blocked from receiving. Everything you try, it ain't gonna make it for you. Because your pride is standing in the way. So, I mean, sometimes faith don't make sense. It's not always going to be something you can figure out with your noodle. It's not. Because it requires believing.
Amen.
So you ain't always going to be able to see the end.
Yeah.
Are you following me now?
Yeah.
Listen, you need to leave this job. Take that one. Leave this job. But Lord, this job right here pay me $196,000. Them people over there ain't gonna pay me but $72. That's $129. I can't do that. You are going to do it. I can't. That don't make no sense. It don't have to.
Amen.
See, if you heard from God, then the oil's over at the other place. Are y'all following me now? And see, for Naaman, he's about to run out because it didn't make sense to him. He had an inflated opinion of himself. You just have to acknowledge the truth. You are zero without God.
Amen.
That's just it. And if God tell you to go do something or move or do this or stay and you go, the oil ain't going with you. And wherever you go, it's going to dry out. And you're going to be struggling just to do a little because there ain't no anointing on what you're trying to do. Y'all follow me now?
Yes,
trying to help you, not just in healing, but other areas. Some of you are broke off an offering. God told you to give or do something. It was a key moment, key issue, and you decided not to. It didn't make sense to you. So you didn't do it. And see, stuff been going downhill ever since. You better go back to the last thing you heard that you didn't obey, and you better obey it. Because the oil is still on the command. See, you can't bypass these little tests. Financially, you'll be tested when you have nothing. That's when the tests come along. Boy, I got $50. Send 40 of that to Pastor Dolph. Do what? Send 40 of that to Pastor Dolph. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That won't leave me but with 10. Because we act like God can't subtract that. Lord, that won't leave me but with $10. You got just enough to do what I told you to do. Whew, now what you gonna do? And see, it could be, I decided, Pastor, I just couldn't do that. I couldn't obey. I needed that money. And see, that's the last thing God told you to do. You disobeyed. I mean, sometimes when things aren't working, keep smiling now because you know I'm not talking to you. Sometimes when things aren't working, it just seems like everything's shut down. Go back to the last instruction you got that you did not obey. It could be something so small it didn't make no sense to you at all why that would kill everything, but it could. All right, then Jesus, we back to Jesus now. Jesus said unto him in verse 48, unless you see signs and miracles happening, you people never will believe, trust, have faith at all. Now watch this, all right? Yeah, this is going to be a little dicey, but we're going to live through it. Now watch this. He asked Jesus to come down to his house. Right? He said, sir, come down, ere my child die. Come to my house. Well, is Jesus a preacher? Shouldn't he go? He went with other people. We've seen him go with other people before to their house. But for whatever reason, he don't make the move on this one. I mean, he didn't go, of course I'll come. I'm a preacher. Sure I'll come. Now, let watch. See, you guys getting quiet? Y'all ain't even breathing. Where we going with this? There are people that look like they have a legitimate need, but all they're going to do is waste your time. They're going to waste your time. And people can waste 4, 5, 6 hours of your time replaying a story. You can give them the scriptures. Hear what you need to do. You need to do this, 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 this. Thank you, Pat. But you know, now let me tell you, see, wait a minute. You need to do this, 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 and this. Okay, thank you. Some folk just need to be heard. So they don't really even want no help. And see, I do this for a living, so I know what I'm talking about. Some folk don't want nothing. Don't want no help. This won't be heard. We first got in the ministry, man. I remember this couple specifically. We went to their house. We spent 6-7 hours trying to fix their finances. About 3 weeks later, they got mad and broke camp anyway. And I got a revelation. I won't put that on the Holy Ghost. I got an epiphany that day. You know what? The best counsel I'm gonna do is 11 o'clock, because that's all we had then on Sunday. The best you'll get is what you get on Sunday. Now, people gonna come to my office and I'm gonna counsel with them, but I'm telling you the truth. There's a bunch of folk, don't listen, it ain't just me, you too, that will waste your time. And I mean, you'll be home praying for their rent to be paid. Your rent already paid. You're bleeding for their rent to be paid. They home watching TV. Waiting on your prayer to get them delivered. Are you listening to me? And so now you got to do it like Jesus. You need to be led. I've been in my office before. People have laid out a sob story to me about a need they have. I have my hand right on my money clip because I'm going to help them. But the Holy Ghost, okay, well, praise the Lord. So I'll pray with them. Then I've been in there before, meet that need. Okay. Here, the Holy Ghost told me to give you this. So you have to be led. Remember we said we need to find out why folk in the mess then. Oh, Lord, see, it's getting a little quiet. That's all right. You can get quiet if you want to. That's fine. Watch repeat offenders. This is the fifth time I showed you these scriptures. What's up? I'm telling you, there are folk that will waste your time. And it's the commodity that you can't replace. So I don't let nobody waste my time. You cannot replace it, so you can't let folk waste your time. Now, if you're going to err on the side of caution, it's better to go and then get there and go, oh, Lord, I missed it, than to not go. You're going to miss it sometime. Right. You'll miss it sometime. Everybody misses it sometime. You're going to miss it sometime. But try best as you can to be led by the Holy Ghost. Because what we see is everybody wants Jesus to come to the house. He ain't come.
Amen.
So then we can say maybe there are times we don't need to be present. I said that was going to be a little dicey. See, what people think is if they need you, you're supposed to just drop your life and come. Are you listening to me now? I mean, I think I told y'all there were times when me and Pastor Kit were at the emergency room, and she's in the emergency room, and she was having tremendous pain in her stomach. And folk would see me and go, come here, man, come here. I'd be right. Could you wait just a minute? Because I'm here with my wife. But see, when folk got a need, their need dominates their life. They don't really care about what's going to happen with you. All right? Come on, release your anointing over here. My pastor can't know how to pray. She can pray. Well, she can't pray right now because she's in there going, oh, so I need to be in there praying. Hold up. I'll be right there. I can't tell you the number of times I've been to the hospital. Bump on folk in the hey! This is God. This is God. I thank you. This is God. Oh, this is God. I be like, this ain't God. We're at the hospital. God don't want none of us down here. God don't want none of us down here. Now watch. Everybody needed prayer. I prayed for them. I prayed for them. I prayed for them. But you need to recognize people's need is what's first and foremost in their mind. You don't have a life. You don't have children. You don't have to pay your bills. You need to come and fix my wrong. And there's times you need to be led of the Holy Ghost. I better get my Bible. All right. Well, pray the Lord anyhow. Let's read on here. Jesus said unto him, unless you see signs and miracles happening, you never will believe, trust, or have faith at all. All right, the king's officer pleaded with him. He's still begging. Sir, do come down at once before my little child is dead. Jesus answered him, go in peace. Your son will live. All right, what's the King James says, go thy way, thy son liveth. Six words. He gave the man six words. All right, the man's like, please come down. My son's going to die. Jesus said, look, you need to see something to believe. Now, remember we said this, sin is not believing. Because what you can pick up with your senses don't have to be believed for. I don't have to believe Elder John's there. He's actually there. If he wasn't here, I need to believe. See, if you want to see something, you believe first. While you're broke, got nothing, you have to believe that God meet all your needs. Amen. While you're sick, taking medicine, injecting yourself or whatever you're doing, that's when you have to believe that you're healed. Because seeing comes from believing. Y'all follow me now? Yeah. So Jesus said, man, you're never going to believe without seeing something. The guy said, come on, dear, please come with me. He says, go in peace. Your son lives. That's it. Mm-hmm. He ain't say nothing else to him. Now the man has instruction. Now we're about to find out what he believes. Because now he's got instruction for him. All right? So now his next action tells us what he believes. You do realize if we take the Bible and analyze your life, we can tell what you believe. Now watch. Don't care nothing about what you say that you believe. All right? We can tell by your actions and the word what you believe. So he says now, all right, go in peace, your son lives. Now he got a choice. What he does is he turns and he starts home. Now remember, it's 15 miles. Know how the Bible say we walk by faith? Amen. This boy here is walking by faith. Because he has no physical evidence that anything has changed. Amen. He just has instructions. Go home. Your son lives. Go home. Your son lives. Now, he done made a 15-mile trip, which we said would take 5 hours. And now he got to make a return trip. But there's a difference. Every step going home, the devil is on his back. Man, are you kidding? You was with Jesus. You better turn around. You better go back and get Jesus. You just going to go. Are you kidding? Now, if he turns around, he ain't going to make the book. Because his son's going to die. Because the oil was on, go home. Go home. Your son. That's all he said. He didn't pray for him. He didn't give him no oil out of, you know, no Jordan oil. He didn't give him no water out of the Jordan. He didn't do nothing but give him a word. Go in peace. Your son lives. Boom. Nothing. Didn't even pay no money. That's it. I came all this way. Come on. Anybody here with us? Come on. Anybody here with us? How do you think most folk would have reacted to that? I came all this way. My son dying. You supposed to be the love preacher. You supposed to be the son of God. And you won't even come home with me. All you got, it ain't like, I mean, it ain't, I walked it. I know you can walk it. It ain't but 15 miles. I'm just asking you to come home, lay hands on my son. So, you know, he'd be talking to his neighbors. Man, you see Jesus on TV? I don't watch him no more. I don't watch him no more. Ain't no love. He ain't got no love. You know, he gave you instruction. Go home. Your son lives. Now, you know, see, in our day, we could just take a couple steps. Hi, Joe. Well, it looked like you're getting a little better. All right. See, then you ain't. No, he ain't got none of that. He got to go all the way home. Now, imagine the temptation to turn around. And to go back. And to beg Jesus some more. But if he does, his son's gone. Imagine the fear. Lord God, I know this is just as stupid. I know. All he had to do was come lay hands on him. And he wouldn't even do it. And the devil just, boy, that must have been like a 100-mile walk right there. Your son dead, Slim. He dead. He gone, bro. He gone. If Jesus would have come, he could have lived, but he didn't come. He's gone. He's dead. Boy, think of having the imaginations you have to cast down. On a 15-mile walk home, because an itinerant preacher wouldn't come and wave. Now, as he gets closer, he sees his servants coming toward him. Now, don't you know the devil's going?
Yes.
He dead, man. He dead, Slim. They coming to tell you right now he dead. He dead. He died yesterday. You should have done what I told you. They come and say, your son lives. Don't you know that boy like to have a fit? He said, now what, tell me this. What time did he start to get better? Now this is important too. Everybody's healing isn't instantaneous. All right, so don't get disappointed if you don't get a suddenly. There are suddenlies, and we believe in for suddenlies, but there is just recovery. That over a course of time, the power of God will work in your body and you will mend. That's actually what healing means, just to mend, to recover. All right, so the boy started to amend when he was there talking with Jesus. When he made his pirouette and started home, boom. Miraculous action is always released when you act on the word.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Now you and I have a book of instructions. Miraculous action is released every time you act on the word. Because acting on the word is a release of your faith. I wouldn't do this if I didn't believe it. See, listen to me. When you ain't got but $50 and God requires 45 of it to go back into his work, and that's all you got, you ever had a week when all you had was $5 because God took 45? Talking about mission impossible. And you think, I had some money. I could have made it on 50. See, on 50, I'd put $10 gas in my car and I'd put, you know, I could have ate lunch one day. See, but five. I had some money. Now here you come talking about give 45 of it back to the work of God, and now I ain't got but $5. And so you walk away from the church with $5. And you got a wife at the house. Been there, done that one. Like, oh, Lord Jesus, help me, Lord, please, Lord. Baby, you hungry? Nah. I'm all right. Want to order something? Nah. Nah, I'm good. I'm good. But see, now I've acted on the word. So I have scheduled my miracle. Oh, Lord, please hear this. If tonight you start believing for your healing, you schedule your miracle. Now, could be some trips to the doctor in between there, but the miracle's coming. Could be some trips to the hospital in between there, but the miracle's coming. Because the minute I start believing this word, I have now scheduled. My miracle is on the way. And I'm telling you, if you can get past, back to financing now, if you can get past these small tests, you're going to get to the place where, see, if the Lord gave you $10,000 and then asked you to give six away, that ain't no real test because you got four left. And if you can't be thankful for four, you need to be hit in the head with a brick. But when you got like 40 and you got to get 35 away, now that's a test. See, what people think is you get tested when things get big. No, the test is when everything is small.
Amen.
That's what you approve faithful. $75, woo, amen, praise the Lord. Get 60 of it away. Oh, Lord Jesus. People think you fell out under the power. There wasn't no power. Oh, Lord. Now, what you going to do? The minute you act on the word, you schedule your miracle. The minute you release faith in the word, you schedule the miracle. It's now scheduled. It's I know it's coming. Lewis Greenup said this, and it's the best example I've ever seen. He said he was in Las Vegas, and he was preaching there, and he was walking through, it was in a hotel, which of course they had gambling in it. He was walking through the casino, and he saw this little old lady with a thing full of quarters. And she just kept putting quarters in there, pulling, you know, what's that thing called with the three? Slot machine. She kept putting the quarter in, pulling. He said, the Lord spoke to him and said, you know why she's doing that? Because she know the money's in there. And she just has to stay there and be consistent, and eventually the money's going to come out. Well, see, the miracle working power of God is in the word. You just got to keep pulling and pulling. And, now, it didn't come that time. So what do I need to do? Pull again. How long do we pull? Till what's in there comes out. Are you following me? And if you won't get, and walk off, so that the next person come up with three quarters and wins all your money. You got to hang in there. God can't lie. He can't. So if it's in the book, it's for you and you can have it. But you can't quit. Although I can because I'm out of time. Come on, hop up on your feet. Listen, it's in here. It's actually in here. Your healing is in here.
Amen.
Your deliverance is in here.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Your prosperity is in here.
Yeah.
Peace in your family is in
yeah.
here. What do I got to do? Keep pulling it by faith until it comes out.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Join hands with your neighbors. Let's pray. Father, we do bless you and thank you for the word. Father, we thank you that we are people of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, Father, we decree, because we're believers, we already have miracles scheduled, Father. They're scheduled.
Yes.
Father, we thank you as we keep pulling on this word. We keep believing this word. We're going to walk into our deliverance. We're going to walk into our miracles. Father, we're not quitters. We are going to see what the Bible says we can have. We are going to enjoy what the Bible says we can have. Thank you, Father. We indeed all are living and not dying and declaring the works of the Lord. Thank you for healthy organs, for healthy blood, for healthy bones, Father. Thank you, our bodies are sickness and disease free. Thank you, Father. We're living. We're not dying. We're declaring the works of the Lord. Now, Father, help us not to cast away our confidence.
Yes, Jesus.
For our confidence has great recompense of reward. We bless you and we praise you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, hug 2-3 folk. Tell them they're healed and blessed.